If you would open up either your Bibles or the Pew Bibles, or it will be projected on the screen a little bit later on and also right behind me, we're going to look up our theme verse for Ocean Overflow VBS, and it's Romans 15, verse number 13. And so we're going to leave our artwork on the easels for this week, and we're going to dive in deep to our Vacation Bible School theme verse. We're going to put aside the artwork sermon series and close it up actually next week with the final art piece that we're going to talk about. But if I had to mix metaphors for a moment, if I had to talk Ocean Overflow VBS and assign it a piece of artwork, I think it would be Jackson Pollock's artwork number 5 that he made in 1948. Now I love art. I do. I like Vincent van Gogh's and the swirls of starry night and the use of light and how that's portrayed. I like the mystery and intrigue of the Mona Lisa and some of the history and the backstory behind Leonardo's capability. I like American Gothic and the values and the rural communities that Grant Wood was displaying in his piece of artwork with the pitchfork farmer and his daughter or wife in that. I like art. I don't understand this kind of art yet. And so maybe that's my immaturity. I'm going to go back and take Elizabeth Denning's or Leslie Woodard's art class in high school and understand this. But I'm told by artists that do appreciate this, that this is a certain technique called action painting or pouring painting. It looks like spilt paint to me, okay? But action painting or pouring painting is personified by much of Jackson Pollock's art work, and this is number 5, and there is some overlap between that. Overflowing paintings, overflow VBS, we could go that direction, but I'm just going to simply stick to illustrating overflow VBS in the way that my wife did for the leaders meeting this past week together. And so what I need for this is some bold and daring kid that doesn't have family pictures after this. Do we have any bold and daring kid that's willing to come up front and stand on this shark towel for a moment? Please, would you? Annabella, come forward. Bold and daring Annabella is going to join me up front here at church to help illustrate Overflow VBS in the way that my wife did for our leaders meeting together. So Annabella, you come forward and you stand right there on that shark and you look out at the congregation and you smile. Annabella is going to represent, she doesn't know this is happening, okay, church? Annabella is going to represent a child, okay? And she plays that part well. Thank you, Annabella. Smile for them. This mug right here is going to represent a Christian. Or the church. It's got a church on it. It's a mug that was given to us from the home church that we grew up in, West Heartland. And so this is going to represent the individual Christian or the corporate Christians, the church together. And this, remember it's an illustration, is going to represent God. Now, if this was a more fitting illustration, this would be actually a hose hooked up to an infinite ocean that never stops. This is the biggest container I had, okay? But this is the infinite God. This is the finite being that's you or me or the church. And this, Annabella, is the children, okay? Are you ready for the illustration of overflowing VBS? Keep smiling at them, Annabella. This is God pouring into the life of a Christian, the church, that keeps pouring and keeps pouring and keeps pouring. And there's more to pour, but there's where I think we illustrated enough. You seeing that? Annabella, you can pick up that towel now in this moment and dry off for a little bit there. But give Annabella a round of applause for that. You can sit back with Mama. Good job, girl. Good job. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. The theme is ocean overflow. The verse that reminds us that God desires to overflow into individual lives is right behind me, that the kids are going to be saying all week. It's right before you, opened up in God's Word. It'll be projected on the screen. But let's read God's Word together with Ocean Overview, our theme verse in mind. God's Word, Romans 15, 13, says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say that one with me again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. One more time, repetition's a good time, and three is a good number in Scripture. So say it again with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, church? Amen. This is going to be a happening week. Always is in VBS. One of the most tiring weeks, and yet one of the most rewarding weeks at the same time. Do you know the two sometimes go together? It's good to be tired at times for causes that are worth it. You're going to be tired no matter what at times in life. It might as well be tired for the things that are tied to eternity. Amen? And so this is going to be a tiring week. That kids are going to be consuming mass calories of sugar at craft time that look like different ocean items. And there'll be the high and there'll be the low that goes with sugar crashes and tasty treats. I find yearly that either the kids are getting faster or I'm getting slower. But something's happening at rec time as you try to chase them down in that way. There's times of dancing and jumping, and the sanctuary has much better dance moves than what we witnessed a couple moments ago by all of you there. This is all tied together in this week of Vacation Bible School, but central to this is this transformative truth of what God is up to in the overflow. And so I would like, at the start of VBS week, to just unpack a little bit further what it means to live in the overflow of God. Just 3 points that I think are good to reflect on as we consider VBS week this week. And the first of those is, overflow means over and abundance. If you were to define the word overflow, it's our theme word, it's our theme verse, ocean overflow. If you were to tell someone, define overflow, what would you say about overflow? What does overflow mean? Anyone? Can you help me out? Please, Jesse.
One word,
flood. Flood. Flood in the overflow, for sure. Any other words that we would associate with it? What do we mean by overflow? Fady.
Power.
Power. There's power in overflow. Good word. Other words, what would we use for overflow? I would say excess. I would say an overabundance, right? I would say it cannot be contained in a single vessel. And that's what we saw in the illustration, right? With Annabella before us, that vessel that represented you and me could not contain all that was pouring into it. Christian, this is what we're being described as in this overflow that God has for us. May the God of hope fill you. You know, I hope part of you came to church on this is just a regular rhythm of our life to be filled. I do hope that. But I hope it doesn't just end there, that I just want to be filled. Because did you know that's not all there is to the Christian journey? God is not just concerned with your filling. He wants to, yes, fill you, but to flow through you from that filling, because there's always more of him than just you can contain. You catch that, Christian? You are finite. He is infinite. And so if there's an overflow, that means we can never get to the end. The infinite ocean that is God pouring into the finite vessel that is us. He made us to overflow for him. And so I want to ask you a question and ask you seriously to take some thought about this week. There's a blank space in your message outline to fill literal people in that space. But my question is this: who are you overflowing into today? Like, who is your life connected to for the sake of impacting for him? Like, God is filling you and flooding through you to impact other people. Because, Christian, this journey isn't just about you. If you showed up to church and you thought this Christian mission was just so that I can be full in life, you're not receiving the fullness of the Christian journey that is in life. God wants to, yes, fill you to flow through you, to impact others, to overflow. Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow. Not just so that you can be filled, not just so that you can be happy, not just so that you can be content, no, so that you can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the infinite God always has an excess for the finite man that is meant to impact others. Don't forget that progression in the Christian journey. Overflow means over and above. Point number two, overflow originates in God. Overflow originates in God. May the God of hope fill you by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are looking for a filling anywhere other than God, it's not sufficing, correct? Like, if we're looking for filling anywhere other than God, it won't fulfill. If we're looking for our filling in money, isn't there always someone that has more money? Or isn't there always something that money can't buy? Money can't fill. Never has, never will. Some of us look for filling in relationships. If I just had that spouse, or if I could just be with that person or that individual, my life would be content. It would be solved in that. And you're putting expectations on your spouse or relationship that your spouse or relationship can't come through with. You were made for a relationship. It's just not a person-to-person relationship that will fill you. Because people are people. Only God is God, right? And so if we're trying to make people our gods, we're going to be unfulfilled. And we're always going to be unhappy. And we're going to expect some things that won't be able to be delivered because your spouse is not your God. They were meant to be your spouse. You checking that? If you're looking for your filling in a relationship, you won't be satisfied. You're looking for your filling in an accomplishment, a trophy, a title, an accolade? I stayed up too late last night watching one of those ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries on the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl team. I know, lousy waste of time, really was. But what always interests me, and the script is the same, whatever the sport there and whatever the year, but always in the wake of a great victory, there's microphones shoved in their face, and the athletes say, "I'm just so glad we accomplished what we accomplished, because what we've done here will be remembered forever." You ever notice that in those moments, like human beings always seek out and search for the forever? There's something in us that wants the forever, the eternal. And that's how we're wired. We were made to quest for the immortal, because there is eternity. It's rooted in God, though, not in a ring, not in a trophy. Like case in point, can any of you tell me who won the World Series 5 years ago without consulting Google, please? No one? Like, that's 5 years, not forever. Right? I'm not even asking you 500 years, the ancient Aztecs, when they played their ball games and someone shoved a mic in their face and said, "What we just did here will live on forever," right? You don't remember them either and their accolades in that. And so what makes us think that we're going to be remembered forever because of a Super Bowl trophy or a World Series ring or something like that? You catching this? Like forever is not found in the finite realms, church. There is a forever, but you got to go to the eternal realms for that. And only God can fill you with that deepest longing. Not your spouse, not some championship ring, not some dollar amount or social bracket. Only God can provide that filling, church. And so turn to God. One church father, Blaise Pascal, from a different generation, had this quote, which I share with you oftentimes, but I think it just gets at the whole of humanity and how only God can fill that hole. He says this: "There is a God-shaped hole in the heart of every human, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus." Humans, we are whole creatures. There's a vacuum, a void inside all of us. And we cram it with a lot of things. Cram it with money. Cram it with a spouse. Cram it with pleasure. Cram it with rings. You name the crammings there, but it's never fulfilled. It's always lacking. Because the only thing that can contain that hole that we were made is the eternal, infinite being that made us in his image. We will always feel lacking if we're not filling in him. You hearing that, church? Overflow reminds us that there is a filler, but we got to turn to God, not money, not relationships, not any fleeting thing with that in mind. A number of weeks back, we had a baptism seminar. Just for those that were inquiring about the August 6th, the outdoor baptism service there. And in the midst of the conversations of that seminar, one of the individuals there was talking about the movie Jesus Revolution and the baptism scene in that movie. I expressed to that individual I was desiring to see that movie, wasn't able to see it this past February or March when it was released. Anyone seen that movie? February, March when it was released, so about a fourth of you or so has seen Jesus Revolution. It's a story about a real movement that took place in America. In the 1970s, Time magazine wrote an article about the movement. Amidst the 70s was the hippie craze, Woodstock, all those different things that are taking place with the hippie movement. And there was this movement within that movement of youngsters that were coming to faith in Jesus in a dramatic way, but wasn't the normal way that they were quite used to. And so there's a conversation in Jesus Revolution. Watch this past Sunday, because this individual let me borrow his copy of the DVD. Watch this past Sunday, and there's this quote that just sticks out that I think is fitting with this point at hand. The character is Lonnie. historical figure that actually started the Vineyard Church movement. If any of you have heard of Vineyard Churches, it was helped start by this founder, Lonnie, that had his life dramatically changed in the midst of this Jesus revolution. He's having a conversation with an old washed-up preacher that he shares this about his generation and his peers. He says this, "There's an entire generation right now searching for God. I know we must seem a little strange, but if you look a little deeper, you'll see a bunch of kids that are searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places." And he was talking about his own search for Jesus, too. He was caught up in searching for all the right things in all the wrong places. Lonnie had a history in drugs. He was searching for that high. He was searching for that hope. He was searching for that escape. And yet what he found promised in drugs sent him crashing further down. That he could only ultimately find in Jesus. This is the condition of humanity. Searching for all the right things in all the wrong places. Because we all have a hole in us that only God ultimately can fulfill. But if we're searching elsewhere, we're searching in the wrong places that aren't fulfilling. For that God-shaped hole that only God can fill. As Blaise Pascal said, for a different generation. Overflow reminds us, may the God of hope fill you. Only God can fill you. And so may the God of hope fill you. Last thing that I will say about the overflow, we're actually still in that point there. That overflowing, that filling, is the work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples in John chapter 7, he was trying to preview the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Acts 2, we celebrated a couple weeks back, Pentecost, the birth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the holiday. Jesus was previewing them in John 7 for this event when he says this, "Whoever believes in me," remember, Jesus is speaking, "whoever believes in me," that's Jesus, "as the scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." That could still go with our VBS theme, right? Rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so once again, it's tying into Acts 2 and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' followers. I reminded you a month back when we were celebrating Pentecost that this is the gift for all followers of Jesus, this Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that was in Jesus, he gifts to all of his followers. Like rivers of living water flowing from the inside out. To fill you, yes, but not just to fill you, to overflow through you and impact others. And isn't that what we saw happen in the wake of Pentecost? Jesus' followers, just ordinary men, blue-collar boys, fishermen that leave a 2,000-year impact and legacy? Where do they get that from? They didn't learn that in fishing school. They learned that from the Holy Spirit bubbling out from within them and then networking with those that were fishermen with them or crossing their paths in the marketplace or the families that God's put them in. This is the progression of what it means to be a Christian and to grow from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work in that. And we grow in the Spirit by way of spiritual disciplines like prayer, like Bible study, like reading. Let me drop the third point for us, though. How do we access all this? If God's got to overflow for us, how do we access this overflow? It's the work of God, but does God expect anything of us in this interaction? Verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." What if God has given us the keys to this whole vehicle? What if God has led us to that infinite ocean with the hose spicked up to it and put our hand on the spigot, but it's ours to turn the knob to? Like, what if we are there for the overflow, but it's on us to receive or to reject where God has led us? Because that seems to be the progression that Romans 15 is leading us to. That God's the one that's the filling agent. Only God can do what only God can do. But it's as we trust in him. Like, trust turns the knob that allows the overflow to begin. Like faith, like belief, like leaning into him, has a role in opening us up to what God desires to fill and flood through us in this faith journey together. It's ours to accept, to receive, or to reject in this journey with Jesus. Trust opens us to the overflow. And so, if that's the case, what is trust, church? What is trust? If trust helps open us up to the spigot so God's overflow can run into our lives, then what is trust? Any answers to that? Let's open it up. We don't got our small groups today or anything. But do you have a response? How would you define trust if it's trust that helps open us up to God's work in our life? Let's help one another on this Christian journey together. Teresa, what would you say about trust?
Vulnerability.
Trust is vulnerability in what way? What do you mean?
That you're trusting that you can just be yourself.
Okay.
And not have to put all those guards up.
So if we truly trust someone, we're able to be truly present with someone, vulnerable before them. They know us, we know them, and that kind of interchange in a trusting relationship. Trust, yeah, vulnerability. Others, what would we say about trust? Bob?
Courage.
Trust takes courage. It's a hard step. Vady, what would you say about trust? Did you hear that? Trust is leaping into someone's arms knowing that they'll catch you. And maybe they've proven that catch before in life, huh? As Vady's saying, I guess I got the imagery just of a kid jumping into the pool in a father or mother's arms because they've done that before in other ways, and so they're going to trust in that kind of cat. Good, Vady. Anyone else that would add to trust in those ways?
Believing.
Trust is connected to believing. They're synonymous in that way, yes. Had a hand back there, Doug?
Faith in another.
Believing, faith, trust, all those synonymous words there. I wrote down three words there for when I was thinking this week about how would we define trust, what would we say about trust? And one of those is, if you trust someone, you obey someone, right? Trusting often means that someone's taken a level of, they've proven their worth, and so you can trust them for the next thing. I like Vady's description a little bit better, because the illustration I had with obedience in that had to do with a trusting in confusing times. No, one of the things sometimes we backlash against God is the boundaries in life sometimes that he puts up. And so I illustrated it this way in the first service. Might not have been the clearest way. Just talk to Vady after the service. She'll give you a clear illustration, okay? This is the best that I could come up with this week of thinking about it, though. And our youngest, Joy, she's in her twos. She turned two this past February there. And so it's that age group where mobility, she's off and running. We often like to play outside. There is a road outside that we have to be aware of in playing. And so there's a line. There's a place designated where we don't cross that line. Otherwise, mom and dad get a little animated, right? Our voice heightens there, or we go running, or we say stop, or something along those lines, because we don't want her crossing that line. We understand the danger in crossing that line, right? Like, we understand cars and velocity and young lives and all those different dynamics in that she doesn't understand. She couldn't tell you E equals MC squared or all those metrics there of velocity in cars and all those wonders of it that a mature mind knows. But she just knows when I get near this line, the voice gets a little bit louder or the action gets a little bit more dramatic and pulls me away from that line for good reason. I wonder if that's not the case in some of the things that God says in our life too. And our choice is to trust him or not to trust him in those moments. But I think in these moments there, he knows some things that we just don't know about those things. And so we see the drama. We hear the heightened voice. We see the knee-jerk reaction. And we're wondering, what's to this? Because we don't understand car velocity and our weight. And these matters that God is aware of as the creator of these things. I think trusting him means that we take him at his word even when we don't always understand some things. And trust is developed over time. That's another thing I wrote about trust. You don't always just flip a switch on trust. I want you to think a moment about those relationships in your life that have the most trust built in. Who do you trust the most in life? I venture to say that person that came to your mind, you've spent some years with that individual, right? You've built that trust over time with small conversations that led to bigger conversations. And life circumstances have further bonded that trust together. I'm here to tell you this, with God, it can be the same. Like, it's not a flip of the switch, this thing of the Christian faith and the Christian journey. You're not from amateur to expert just like that overnight. It's dialoguing, it's communicating, it's going through seasons and circumstances of life. But as we keep leaning into him, as we keep taking him at his word, as we keep going in his direction, not perfectly, you're not going to do this perfectly. It's persistence that we're after. When we mess up, we fess up and we get up, right? It's one step at a time stuff, but that develops this trust that takes us in directions that are truly eternal directions. This is how trust is developed, through these seasons in life and conversations in life and always leaning into him. Big decisions made, God, I'm going to take your word over what I might be sensing or feeling in this moment. It's obedience, it's leading into that, and all that takes humility, right? I think that ties into the vulnerability piece that Teresa was getting at just a moment ago. It's humbly saying that I don't know all, and I'm not the last authority in all. I bow the knee to you, God. Trust means that we realize where we stand in the pecking order. We are finite. He is infinite. And we march to his tune, not calling the shots, and that's a humble statement. That's a humble statement in all this. So obedience, overflow. What does overflow look like? Well, it originates in God. Overflow means over and above, which means we're to be rippling into, impacting others. As he flows into our life is to flow into other lives. And all of this is turned on by the spigot of trust, by faith, by leaning into his direction and doing it according to his word. I'm going to close with a little story from Scripture. I didn't do this in the first service because my 2-year-old Joy didn't like me apparently using her as an illustration. She made all sorts of noise towards the end of the service there. She's back and we worship. I've got time now, okay? I think this is best illustrated. Maybe not best, but it's illustrated through the journey of Abraham in Scripture. Abraham is a man in the Bible. His story is found in Genesis 12. And Abraham was an older man when we were uncovering his journey. He was 75 years old. He was carrying his AARP card. He was probably looking for this is the easy life, kick back. And none of those details are spelled out. I don't think they had AARP cards, okay? But he's 75. He's in that season of life when God steps in this way in Genesis chapter 12 and says this to Abraham. We're going to get to it. The Lord said to Abram, going by Abram at that point, same person, Abram, Abraham, says, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Now, mind you, it seems from piecing together other scripture passages, Abram lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. That was the big city of the ancient world. It was the prosperous town. It was the comfortable town. It was the place to be at. And in the midst of that place, it seems like Abram maybe had a prominent place. We don't know that from the Bible, but from other archaeologists, they've uncovered some pillars, some stones, some remnants that have a figure matching the time period of Abram with his name on it. And so scholars wonder, was Abram maybe a big player in this community that was thriving at this time? In the midst of all this, God speaks to him and says, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. This is God's deal of the contract. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, if you know Abram's story, he is blessed mightily by God. As he goes walking, the very next verse in this is Abraham went. He leaned into trust. He turned on the spigot of faith. He went in that direction, did exactly what God said, and it wasn't always easy. The very first word after verse number 4, when he went, he finds famine. That's not exactly the blessing you have in mind when God says, I'm going to bless you, right? He steps in obedience, and the first place he steps in is famine. Ouch. Questioning, wondering, God, should I trust you? Should I keep to this journey? Like, I'm sure those swirled through Abram's mind, but he kept to the task and all that. We like verse 2 through the first half of verse 3, that God's always going to have our back, that he's going to help us out in tough times, he's going to bless us. We like verse 2 through 3. We forget that the reason why Abram was blessed was to be a blessing. Did you catch that in the end part of verse 3? All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abram, I'm blessing you, not so just your life can be blessed, so that you can soak it all in and be filled in your container, Abram. No, I'm blessing you to bless through you. And ultimately, this finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus comes from the family tree of Abram. He's going to be blessed to bless the whole world through the name of Jesus. And so it's all pointing to Jesus. We can get into that theology a different date there. But I think the main point is this. We're blessed to be a blessing. And please don't hear those words blessed with just the American way in mind, where we think of blessings as only dollars and cents and 401ks and that. No. There are so many ways that God desires to bless you. Not just to bless you just so that you can be blessed, but so that you can bless others with the blessing that he's given to you. You hearing this? Your cup was made to overflow. Not to just be filled. He's an infinite God. He's more than able to fill you, but to fill you to flow through you. You live in that side of the progression? Who are you impacting? And how are the ripples tying us all together to an eternal being that started this infinite sling? Is this making sense? This is what we're after in this week of VBS and every week as we journey with Jesus together. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that you would flow to us. I pray, Lord, that we're turning on the spigot that you've put our hands in. Teach us how to trust you, Lord. Teach us how to trust you in this moment, in this circumstance, and what we're going through in life. I just pray that for your people, that we would be turning that on in trust. And Lord, as we're turning it on, that we would find the infinite being truly is overflowing. Filling us, yes, but flowing through us to impact others for your glory's sake. That our tribute really would be to God be the glory. Oh, Lord, I'm praying that this week for Vacation Bible School. There's 170, 180 kids that you have put into this container of your church for the sake of filling and flowing through. Lord, I pray that you do that through those young lives. Teach faith to this generation, to this community that finds themselves coming alive even at young ages to this adventure of following Jesus. I pray that for those 170, 180. Lord, I'm praying it too for those 50 to 60 adults that are helping out too. I pray that as they see the faith through the next generation, as they're brushing shoulders with other believers, that you're doing a work in their life as well, filling and overflowing. Lord, I'm praying that for this church. Fill us, flood us, overwhelm us for the sake of just flooding into this community that you've given us as this community of Bellevue. Lord, we're praying for your overflowing by way of your Holy Spirit in our midst, in Jesus' name. And all his people said. Part of that overflowing is connected to hope, that theme passage says. Hope is dropped two times in one verse in Romans 15, 13. And so our closing song is My Hope is Built. It reminds us that there are some things in life that are sinking, that can't fill the void that only God can fill, but that Jesus truly is that rock that can fill. And so let's stand, let's sing to him, let's be reminded of its truth. My hope is built.